Radio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck up!
Wire Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rocket.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you. Drop it.
As always, by PW Mania and Mem Lane Promo.com. I am, of course, the Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Squeak!
She'll be saying that a lot during this show. Just
yes,
warning.
Yes, I will.
Just warning people now. So, Monday Night Raw opened with Daniel Bryan being introduced as the new WWE Champion, and the crowd was into Daniel Bryan. They were cheering, chanting his name, chanting yes, yes, yes. Huge ovation for him.
Oh, and he ate it up.
Mm-hmm. He was
loving it.
he was enjoying it. He told the crowd they're awesome. Bryan said there are a lot of things he would like to say right now, but what he thinks says it best is yes, yes, yes. And then, well, it's time to play the game.
Before you go too far down the road of congratulating yourself on becoming WWE Champion, Daniel, I would like to address the 800-pound gorilla that is sitting in the room. And that is the fast count from last night. It's what social media is talking about. It's what they're talking about. It's what all the talent are talking about. Daniel, that victory is tainted as of this moment, and I would like to get to the bottom of that, so I would like to bring Scott Armstrong, the official from last night, out here right now. I would like to get to the bottom of what happened last night, and first I would like to take a look at some footage. We're going to look at the footage of the end of last night's WWE Championship match, but before we do, I'd like to show some footage right now that shows Scott, your normal cadence in a WWE Championship match, your normal count, if we could, please. One, two, that is your normal cadence, Scott, is it not? Let's take a look at it one more time, just to be clear. One, two, that is your normal cadence for a three count, is it not? I would now like to take a look at the footage from the finish of last night's WWE Championship match. The final call, if you will, if we could roll that, please. One, two. hold on. Can we please just look at that one more time, please? I would like to see that again. One, two, three. Now, for those who cannot discern the difference, I would like to be absolutely clear. If we could see them side by side, please. Now, the questionable three count is on the left. Your normal cadence is on the right. If we could roll the footage. So in the amount of time that it took you in a normal cadence to count to two, you made a three count last night. Scott, that was an incredibly fast count. How do you explain this?
It was a fast count. I don't know.
It was a fast count. I don't know. That's your reason. I don't know.
I made a mistake.
Scott, you are a senior official of the WWE, right? That kind of fast count does not just happen. How do you explain how that happened?
I made a mistake.
I made a mistake. Scott, I have known you for 15 years, right? I've never seen you make a mistake like that. I have never seen you make that kind of mistake, and if you've ever done anything, you've always fessed up to it. And I have the feeling right now that you're not telling me everything, Scott. What do you tell me the truth. Come on, get it out. Whoa. Hold on a second. What did you do? Did you just say they got us, Daniel? They're on to us. This changes everything. Scott, I will deal with you later. If you could please go to the back right now, please. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, before we continue, the hard body ref really stepped in right there, didn't he?
Mole! Moly, 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 mole!
Well, we haven't got to the mole part yet.
I'm just putting the accusation out there right now! But yes, he stepped in it deep. Oh dear. But of course, you know, we all knew this was going to happen because when I woke up this morning, what was social media talking about? The fast count from last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everybody was pointing that out. Everybody was calling that Brian, what was about to happen was going to happen based on that fast count. So it's not any real surprise next per se what happened next, but yeah.
And what happened,
interesting way to go about it.
And what happened next is, well, Triple H is now holding the WWE title vacant. And he's not giving it back to Randy Orton. Hunter told Daniel Bryan to give him back the WWE title. The crowd was chanting no. Hunter told Daniel Bryan that he has disgraced himself. And Sean, which indeed Hunter said, he thought Sean would have taught you better. Which was a nice little line there. Mole.
I said it to you.
You're a mole. You're a mole. Anyway.
You're a mole.
You're a mole.
You're a further mole. Because I told you, watch it. Wouldn't it be cool? They strip Daniel Bryan of the title and then they hold it vacant. They don't give it back to Randy Orton. And gee, what happened tonight? Less than 3 hours later. Oh, look, Daniel Bryan gets stripped of the title and they don't give it back to Randy Orton. You and your network of spies, they work very fast. I must say, I commend you.
Hunter told Bryan to give him back the title or he will take it from him, and it brought out Randy Orton. Hunter told Orton to calm down because he has this under control. Hunter shouted at, you know, everyone, you know, that there will not be any fighting Big Kid because he has this. Hunter told Bryan to be reasonable because he is no longer WWE champion. The title is held up. There is no champion. And he will get to the bottom of this, he said. Bryan was looking around. The crowd was taking, saying no. Bryan took a deep breath and closed his eyes. And then screamed, no! And then Bryan got in Hunter's face and shouted, no. So Orton, you know, grabbed Bryan. Well, actually, Triple H grabbed Daniel Bryan, which allowed Hunter, which allowed Randy Orton to hit an RKO, leaving Daniel Bryan down. Triple H grabs the belt and walks up the ramp.
The RKO spot was a nice spot.
It was. This was a really hot open. The crowd was into it, and you were making, you had the number one face and the number one heels, and it was perfect.
Oh, it was really well done. It was a great opening, and they addressed it right off the bat. Pretty much what everybody was expecting to happen happened, so it wasn't really that surprising that Daniel Bryan lost the title, because we were all, like, if you listened to WTR last night, that's all they were saying. It's like they're waiting for that next step in the story, which is, well, they screwed Daniel Bryan out of the title somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's how they did it.
So the crowd chanted Randy sucks as we went to break. Continue.
Which was hilarious.
But yeah, that was the hot start to the show. They got right to it, and that's what you wanted.
Oh, it is. It completely is. This was a great way to follow up Night of Champions, because it's like I said, you know, we were waiting for that follow up. It's like, are they actually going to let Daniel Bryan win? And the answer to that is a rock solid no. No, they're not.
We come back from break, and, well, things get more interesting.
The problem the whole time, and it's not Scott Armstrong, it turns out to be Daniel Bryan is involved in this the whole time.
Hunter,
what the hell is going on? What the hell just happened out there?
What do you mean, what happened?
What happened? Where's my title? Give it back to me.
It's not
mine.
Hey,
no.
Who do you think you're talking to? That's the COO of the WWE. As far as we're concerned, you deserve to lose last night. What happened to the Randy Orton of old? What happened to the Randy Orton who had no morality, no morals? What happened to the sick bastard who handcuffed my husband and gave me a DDT? Until you find that Randy Orton again, maybe we'll have to find a new face of the WWE.
That's the guy we're looking for.
It seems like Miss Man is the one who wears the pants in that relationship.
Yeah, I really liked how Steph stepped up and, you know, told Randy what for.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, hey, look, we're not going to take this off you. It's not yours. It's ours. We just let you rent it.
Yep.
And if we don't think you're eligible for it, well, guess what? We're not going to give it back to you. So prove that you deserve it. It's kind of the tables being turned a little bit on Randy Orton after all the stuff that's happened with Daniel Bryan. Now, well, payback kind of sucks.
Our first contest of the evening is a non-title match featuring the United States champion Dean Ambrose and his opponent Dolph Ziggler. So, this was a pretty good match, don't you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a great match. It wasn't as good as last night, but it was still enjoyable.
See, I thought tonight's was better than last night's. They continue to do the 10 elbows, and he points at Jerry Lawler on the last one.
Well, you know, because it was an elbow right to the heart.
Because it's a heart stopper, as JBL called it. And the burial of Dolph Ziggler continues as he picks up the victory over Dean Ambrose. So, he may be getting another title shot here in the near future.
Maybe. I mean, you beat the U.S. champion. I think that makes you a number one contender, doesn't it?
I would assume so. But that's just me. So Dolph Ziggler wins. We go come back from break. Or as we head to break, Big Show is with Brad Maddox, and he just says, "The McMahons and we'll be here any minute," and Big Show was not impressed. So they just stood there waiting. As we came back from break, Brad Maddox told Stephanie that Dusty Rhodes is here and then left, and Stephanie then addressed Show, asking how it felt to be suspended without pay. Steph reminded Show that he is broke, so Show will sit in this chair right there and watch the show without getting into trouble unless she calls for him. Interesting.
Wonder what Steph could possibly have up her sleeve.
So, we move on. Our next contest of the evening, R-Truth battles Fandango.
And it was a match.
It was a match, and Fandango wins.
Yeah, I think the best part of the match was where in the beginning where R-Truth mocked Fandango.
Pretty much. So, we then see Dusty Rhodes getting, you know, cheered on by the locker room as he heads to the ring to talk in after the break. So we come back from break. The American Dream, baby, comes down to the ring looking very slimmed, as you noted.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Dusty's lost quite a bit of weight. So, or maybe it's been a while since I've seen Dusty, but it seems like he's slimmed down quite a bit.
He has dropped some weight. Dusty Rhodes is in the ring. Thanks to crowd for the huge Dusty chant. Dusty said he's not here as the American Dream tonight, but as the Virgin. Virgil Reynolds. He said that he wants the McMahons to understand that he's been down the road before, not knowing where the money is going to come from to pay the bills. But you reach down and find a way to do it for what you love, and of course, is your sons. Dusty continued to preach on that this is not about him, but it's about his son, Cody Rhodes. As he said, it wasn't part of the fight, but on a whim, because Triple H thinks he knows what's good for business. You know, he brought up Goldust, and he came up to play and took a mighty swing at Randy Orton. He said that God's greatest gift to each person in the audience is a child, and the Rhodes family exists to be the best. Dusty then got straight to business as a business, and because of the business proposition that Stephanie McMahon gave to him via the tweet. You know, it's either from Stephanie McMahon or Stephanie Levesque. And then he told Stephanie McMahon to drag her long legs down to the ring and get with it. So she's now Stephanie Long Legs McMahon.
Only Dusty Rhodes could get away with saying that.
Yes. Only Dusty Rhodes can get away with that. And she smiled as he said that. Stephanie said her husband's decision to fire Cody has been weighing on them. And, you know, she got him a gift. Got them a wedding gift. Dusty looked at it and it was a gift card from Bed Bath & Beyond. And Lindsay says,
grab the gift card! Well, because he threw it aside, so it's like, quick, somebody grab the gift card! Probably at least $50, which will buy you like one thing in that store.
But still, it's, you know, worth it. But Dusty wanted her to get right down to business, and that's what she did.
So let me relate to you, okay? You're the son of a plumber. I can relate to that because I am the daughter of a genius. The genius behind this sports entertainment phenomenon. And there's a lot of pressure there. There's a lot of pressure to succeed. And as we all know, business is all about succeeding. So getting to the chase and doing what's right for business, we would like to offer Cody Rhodes his job back.
There you go. That's all I want. That's good. Me and you are done.
Or we can give that job to your older son. The one who fought so valiantly for Cody last week on Raw. There's only one open spot, and who better to make that choice than you?
No. Let me tell you something. You're not going to catch me off guard with this step. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to make that choice. Let me ask you a question, too.
Before you ask me a question, let me put it to you this way.
No.
You need to listen to this.
Don't interrupt me.
Excuse me. You need to listen to me. You can give this job to your glorious baby boy, the one who's always done everything absolutely right, the one who just got married, has his whole life ahead of him. Or you can give this job to the son that you neglected all those years traveling on the road. Dusty, I know that you blame yourself for Dustin's transgressions. And this is your chance to make that right. You could be a hero to your sons. The choice is yours. The opportunity is right here in front of you.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Let's calm down here. Let me ask you one question. In the morning when you get up and you go to breakfast, and you got some beautiful daughters, how are they, by the way? They're good?
They're wonderful, but this isn't good. about me or my daughters.
No, let me ask this. You line them up at the table and you say, okay, you're my favorite. You other two go on back to bed. Is that what you do? That's my answer to you. And I'll tell you one thing else. I'll tell your husband, and I'll tell this company.
You know what? This is very typical of you. You make this all about yourself. It's all about Dusty Rhodes and his decision. Well, what about Cody? What about Dustin? What about Goldust? You're just going to leave them behind like you always have, putting yourself first? I hope they can find it in their hearts to forgive you.
You're going to forgive this, Stephanie. You can go straight to hell!
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Sierra Hotel, India. Echo Lima.
No. Are you kidding me? Wait a minute. No. Get out of there, Dusty.
Hang on a second. This hardly seems fair. I've got somebody who's been waiting in the back who can maybe even things out. Oh, Big Show. Big Show, would you mind coming out here, please? Allow me to shed a little light on this situation here, Dream. So since you couldn't make a decision about which one of your sons would get a job here, then you're going to have another choice. Would you prefer to be dismembered by the Shield or knocked out by the Big Show?
Oh,
your
no.
choice.
Come on. I thought you brought the Big Show out here to help the Dream.
Oh, you're not going to make a choice. Again, you're indecisive. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make it for you. Big Show, knock him out. He brought this on himself. I was offering his sons a job. Fine. Shield, get him.
So Big Show ended up knocking out the Dream and then catching him as he fell and hugged him all the way to the ground.
where do you even want to start with this?
I'll let you pick a place.
This was easily segment of the night. This was so incredibly strong and so well done. And I just absolutely love the hell out of this segment, because this sort of set the theme for the whole rest of the night, which was basically they just took your heartstrings and they just yanked them as hard as they could. I mean, you have Stephanie playing her part perfectly. You have Dusty being the loving father that can't and won't pick between his two sons. Just perfect. And then Big Show on top of it. You know, trying to fend off the pack of rabid dogs that is the Shield, trying to protect Dusty, and then basically trying to, you know, not have to punch Dusty. And, you know, him apologizing to Dusty, him saying, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, but I have to. I don't have a choice. And just the final touch was him carrying Dusty to the ground. Like, catching him and laying him down as opposed to letting him fall.
Because Big Show realized one punch is better than an entire beatdown from the Shield.
Yes.
They were able to stretcher off Dusty Rhodes at this point. But yeah, this was segment of the night, as Lindsay said. They pulled, tugged at your heartstrings, yeah. This was great.
This was so well done. I mean, just God, this was so well done. Props to everybody involved in it, because, yeah, they owned it with this.
They're telling fantastic stories right now, especially with Big Show. Stephanie is playing her part super well, and right after the punch they did on the replay, they showed a smirk on her face like she knew what she did, and she loved it.
Oh, she's playing the manipulative witch so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So perfectly. It's like, you know, it's you know, her telling Big Show, you have nothing. You're relying on us to basically get your money. So in order to get your money, you're going to do whatever I tell you to do. Or you don't get paid, as they emphasize with him getting suspended for a night on SmackDown, which, after all of this, makes you realize, you know, especially after having to knock out a virtually defenseless 70-year-old man, you know, how much more can Big Show take before he turns on the McMahons? How much more is a locker room going to take before they turn on the McMahons? Because it's like, you can take a lot, but everybody has their breaking point. So where do you snap? Because the face on Big Show after this, which we'll get to, was just, yeah.
Yeah, his face, his reaction was, yeah.
So it's you're sitting there wondering how much more can Big Show stand to take before he just absolutely lets the McMahons have it. And, you know, and that's going to be the brilliant thing about this storyline, is the comeuppance and how they do the comeuppance of the McMahons. But that's for another time and another place. But as far as this segment goes, I can't wait to see where they go from here with it. It's like, you fired Cody. You have Goldust try and get his brother's job back. He fails. After a valiant effort, you have Dusty Rhodes go to Monday Night Raw and give, you know, basically refuse to choose between Dustin and Cody. Mm-hmm. And he's knocked out and sent to the hospital for it. So where do we go from here?
Where we went from here is a backstage segment where they're putting Dusty Rhodes into the ambulance as Big Show goes along with him.
And the look on Big Show's face.
Yeah. That was a look.
Yeah.
He was not happy.
Oh, he looked ready to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just, it was just this look of just, you know, I just did something I really didn't want to have to do, and somebody's going to pay for it.
We move on at this point. Up next, it's Brie Bella, Cameron, and Naomi against Layla, Oksana, and Alicia Fox. Basically, what you could say in this one, AJ was awesome on commentary, as always, as they basically... Natty was having trouble with her her headset, and they were trying to blame AJ for it, and, you know, she says she's good, but, you know, she's not that good. So, yeah, as Naomi was waiting for a tag, Brie Bella shoved her out of the way and took the tag from Cameron, and was able to get the victory for her team.
It was a solid match. The best part of this was commentary. And also the stare down between Natty and AJ at the end.
Right.
And the bits between Natty and AJ.
We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the Raw Post Show.
Can I voice my opinion?
You totally can.
No.
Hooray!
No, you're not allowed to. Sorry. Wrong place on that one.
Damn it.
What's up?
Nothing. Heading home from the gym.
So what did you... We're at the Divas match. Did you see the Dusty segment?
I saw part of the Dusty segment because I was walking out the door when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the promo was fantastic because it's Dusty, and Dusty can cut a great promo. Like, I watched tons of Dusty just to, like, learn. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was fantastic. I didn't see what happened later on until, like, later in the night when they replayed the part with the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh, my God, that's awesome. That's awesome.
That was indeed awesome.
Because that right there... That's your survivor. That's part of your Survivor Series. Is Dusty's going to be coaching the team that's got Daniel Bryan and Big Show and probably both Cody and Dustin on it?
We shall see. It could.
I mean, that's my call. I'm calling that now.
That could even happen at, you know, Battleground.
It could happen at Battleground, but I hope it doesn't.
No. I'm with you. It needs to drag out some more to Survivor Series if they can get it that long, and I think they can.
Oh, they absolutely can. Here's the thing, though, and this is where they're starting to lose me a little bit as far as just casual, like, watching it as a fan. You need to give Daniel Bryan a run. You know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be long, but you need to let him, to me, in my opinion, he should win that belt, and he should hold it for a little while. Month, two, you know, drop it at another pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to be able to capture it and hold on to it. Because if they keep giving it to him, and then stripping it from him the next night, and then giving it to him, and then stripping it from him the next night, nobody's going to care. Because they're, oh, Daniel Bryan, he'll probably win the title again, and they'll probably take it from him tomorrow night. So, you're affecting your viewership of a pay-per-view and of Raw the following night.
I think the next time he gets it, he'll get the run with it. It's just in order to further the story from last night, to give it more legs, they did what they did tonight.
Well, no, I'm with you, and I think all of us had thought that they weren't even going to give him the win last night. You know, I don't think there are many people that even predicted that Daniel Bryan would get a win last night. So it was nice to see. I do think that he needs a little bit of a run with it just to kind of even it out. Like, it's nice to see that they're building storylines and building a person that the company can get behind for a while. I mean, you saw the cue tonight. When he held up those two fingers, the whole crowd in unison was with him. That's what you want.
Yeah, they're doing a fantastic job with him on that. With that, but we'll get more into Daniel Bryan here.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm segueing. I'm moving the show along. It's what I do.
Right. By the way, Natty and AJ, can't wait.
That will be good. As we were finishing up with that, yeah, AJ and Natty got face-to-face, and AJ held the title up in her face. So, yeah, we're going to get AJ and Natty down the line.
Woohoo!
It makes me happy because it's two women that can work, man.
I know, right?
Like, they can work, and they can outwork a lot of the guys on the roster. So, it's going to be nice to see a women's match that has some oomph behind it, and I can't wait to see it. I can't.
I'm with you there.
By the way, okay. Libella Bright,
yes.
That needs to die with fire. Thank you for ruining my childhood, Bella Twins and Ava Marie. Rainbow Bright should not look like a slut. Thank you.
Can we just not talk about the Bellas?
We're moving on. We're moving on. She didn't get the voice of opinion on that last night, and you know she gets to do it right now. Up next, Rob Van Dam takes on Damian Sandow. Simple match. Van Dam wins. But
they were having some audio issues in this one.
But if you were WWE, yeah, the winner of the match, Rob Van Dam.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Sin Cara got in the truck again.
Oops.
I didn't hear that. I was... See... At my gym, it's nice. They have a big sound system that's in the free weight area that you can put your phone on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing like Fear Factory and a bunch of just metal while I was lifting. So I always turn the TV down. I'll have Raw on so I can watch it, but I won't be able to hear it. I didn't hear that, and I probably would have dropped weights on my chest had I heard that. Wow.
The look on their face was like, okay, what? And then they showed like the crowd. They're like, what? And then they play Van Dam's music. It was great. Blunder by WWE.
This is why WWE, you don't let the interns in the truck.
Curse you, Sin Cara!
So we come back from break, and well, Triple H is in his office, and he's about to talk to the hard body ref.
The hard body ref. That's right, Scott Armstrong is pretty ripped, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
I asked you to come here because I need to have a tough talk with you. I'm in a jam here, man. And, you know, this whole thing has gotten out of control. This fast count thing at Daniel Bryan. I just can't have it. I had to hold the WWE title up in a state of abeyance tonight. There is no WWE champion at this time. It's a problem. Scott, that WWE officials have to have integrity. They have to be above reproach. If we don't have that, then we have nothing. You've been a loyal employee here for 20 years, and I appreciate that. I'm going to offer you a really generous severance package.
Severance package?
Yeah.
Wait.
Scott. I gotta let you go.
But, Hunter...
But, Scott... I gotta let you go, man.
But, Hunter...
Hey. I'm gonna take care of you. It's gonna be alright. Okay? I'm gonna take care of you.
He's going to take care of Scott Armstrong. Hmm.
Like a mafia boss.
A little bit.
I'm going to take care of you. Go down to Dock 34.
Well, I mean, as the man said in the chat room, paying him off to shut him up. I mean, that's pretty much the case. It's, well, they have to give the appearance of being fair. They have to give the appearance of, oh, yeah, we totally weren't involved in screwing Daniel Bryan, even though we totally were.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I was trying to talk. Like, I was talking to a guy at work that I work with on Mondays about this today. He's like, the storylines are crap, you know, nowadays. I'm like, they are, and they're super transparent because we're adults and we're not children or teenagers anymore. You know, we don't buy it hook, line, and sinker because we can use logic and deduce everything that's probably going on. Sometimes we're wrong, which is a nice surprise. Yeah, you can pretty much infer that Triple H ordered the fast count in order to screw Daniel Bryan. It's going to set up for Triple H to get his comeuppance at some point. That's fine. I enjoy it. I really do enjoy it because it's finally something that's not a gray area. You know what I mean?
Right.
For the past, I don't know, six, eight years in wrestling, it's just been this weird gray area. And now we have a good guy, a legitimate rah-rah good guy in Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And legitimate boo bad guys in The Shield and Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Black and white. There's no gray area.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. And it's something that has been so... What? It's a gray area. There's no gray area. So, and it's something that's sorely been missing in wrestling. It's nice to see.
Good versus evil. Hmm.
Right.
That story never works.
Never. Never. You can never sell tickets off of that.
Never.
Ever.
Can't draw a dime.
No.
It's not good for business.
You gotta have 9 super kicks and like 45 planches and shit.
ROH. Oh wait, no way.
That's not what I meant.
I know what you meant.
I just, look. I'm trying to be nice here.
I know, and I'm poking you. Anyway.
It's not nice to poke the bear. Because I say things like I said last night.
I know. Anyway, moving on.
Please do.
To the next contest of the evening, Randy Orton taking on Cleveland's own The Miz.
Miz is going to die.
He did die.
The Miz, he did die. Miz came off as, again, you know, clear as evident. You got evil versus good. Miz was total the good guy, the babyface. In his hometown, fans were behind him, and Randy Orton just beat the crap out of him right in front of his parents.
Yeah, it's like, one, it's Miz's hometown. Two, they mention Miz's parents are in the audience. It's like, yep, Miz is about to die in a very painful and ugly way.
The look on his mother's face was awesome.
I know.
Just awesome. Like, if I could ever evoke that kind of facial expression from a crowd, I might jizz in my pants in the ring. I'm serious. Like, that was pure gold.
Mm-hmm.
Just pure gold. The only thing I missed, though, is the fact that Orton didn't do the head punt. He did the stomp with the chair,
mm-hmm.
But if you really want to get that vicious Orton back, I want to see a head punt.
Well, you can't do that because they'll break concussions, and I don't like concussions. And, you know, that's probably why they didn't go with that. They would rather break a neck than give a concussion.
That head punt is probably... Dude, that head punt is probably one of the safest moves that you could do.
I know, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but you watch any of Orton's... You know what? I'm not going to say anything because you know where he hits it at.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
You could watch and see where he hits it at.
Orton hit an implant DDT, the hanging DDT, right in front of the parents, threw the Miz back into the ring, as Spock said, put the chair around the neck, and stomped right on it. Vintage Randy Orton, he's back.
God, I honestly think it's...
Take a shot.
Take a shot.
I honestly, if I have to, you know, get a version of Randy Orton, I like this version. I mean, when he's just being an asshole, he's the best. That's when he's at his best.
I honestly want. Oh my God, what was the faction? Him, DiBiase, and Rhodes.
Legacy.
Legacy. I want Legacy Randy Orton. That's the Randy Orton I want. Because it was that dirty, I'm going to hurt you, you know. It was the head punt Randy Orton, but it was in a way that he was just maniacal. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really like. Because he had that charisma when he cut, like, now when he cuts a promo, it's real slow and real just kind of, eh. When he was in Legacy, he had a charisma to his voice that made you want to listen to what he had to say, whether you liked it or not.
Exactly.
Oh, look at me, I'm towing a company line. Damn.
You should know better. You should totally know better. Anyway, we move on. As we hear the tones of the Ryback music, as out came Ryback, Paul Heyman in a wheelchair. Curtis Axel wheeled him out and then, well, left.
He's sort of superfluous at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman introduced himself as the best in the world.
Lindsay Ward, use big word. Spud, no, big word.
Heyman said he gets why they boo him because envy is one of the seven deadly sins, and they now know how many heathens there are in Cleveland. Heyman says it must be so difficult for them to compare their insignificant accomplishments to the things he has achieved in his lifetimes. Like, for example, there is not one of them that can make this statement: I pinned CM Punk.
Except for Lita.
He could say it over and over again. It will be the truth. Heyman noted.
just out of curiosity, I understand where the joke was going,
mm-hmm.
But didn't CM Punk kind of pin her? You know.
I think they pinned each other. I think it was more of like a mutual kind of thing.
It was a mutual pinning.
Anyway, Heyman.
Sorry.
Heyman noted.
So I guess we know what you're watching later tonight.
Mm-hmm. No, I've got this visual in my head of like CM Punk hooking the leg and counting to three and then flipping over. It's terrible, I know.
Heyman heard the boos and noted that for the first time he locked up with CM Punk, he got the victory. And even more significantly, the loser of the match, the crowd's hero, CM Punk. Heyman said he would like to take credit for a master plan, and then Goldberg chant started. Heyman started to say that there was no master plan because Punk delivered a vicious beating that relegated him into a wheelchair, and it's a miracle that he is not some vegetable rotting away in a nursing home right now. Heyman continued to note that he is here tonight because of one man. This man took initiative to change history, and he will continue to torment CM Punk each and every fan because of his actions, because of this big, beautiful man right here, Ryback.
Dude must have been on some awesome painkillers.
Heyman says he owes his life to Ryback. Ryback then took the mic and, well, said he cannot stand a bully. He said Punk bullied Heyman last night, and Heyman did not deserve to be beaten up like that. Punk, I don't like you, Ryback said. Ryback said he is here to stop Punk. Ryback then knelt down to Heyman and noted that Heyman has nothing to worry about ever again. Heyman then said thank you, and then kissed Ryback right on the cheek.
Yeah. Rebound relationships are always hard. They're usually nothing what you know you were going out previously. And
right.
Yeah, this is no exception. I mean, you know, yeah, slim pickings for Heyman. So, mm-hmm. And honestly, this may be the best thing ever for Ryback. Who knows?
Can't be any worse than what he's been doing. So yeah, the kiss on the cheek, as they noted, was one of the strangest nights that they can ever remember.
Paul Heyman's gotta be good for Ryback, because like, he couldn't garner heat on his own. Mm-hmm. So having Heyman there can only increase the thing, you know, can only increase, I don't want to say the heat, but, you know, just the general attention put on, you know, on Ryback.
Exactly. So, yes, this kiss sealed the deal, and they went to the back. Up next, three-team elimination. The Real Americans, the Usos, and Tons of Funk. Once they got the Tons of Funk out of this match, this was a pretty good match.
It was. It was actually a really entertaining match.
And in the end, the Usos picked the victory and now are the number one contenders for the tag team titles.
Which means we'll get another good series between the Usos and the Shield.
Okay with this. Quite possibly. We got a medical update on The Miz. He did not suffer a broken neck. He has a damaged thorax, though. And Dusty Rhodes is conscious and is recovering in a medical facility overnight.
Yeah.
I don't have audio of this, so I'm just going to say to Lindsay, Bray Wyatt promo. Explain.
Basically, Bray Wyatt came on and was his awesome self. I mean, it's kind of hard to sum up what he said. Other than, you know, patience is a virtue, and for him it's a lost art, and he's not going to be rushed, that everything in our society, we want it now, like now, but, you know, in his world that's not the way it works, and, you know, there was something about animals and how in his world they get put down, and, you know, then he said, don't worry, Sister Abigail, or don't worry, Abigail, we'll take them all down, or something like that. So yeah, it was an incredibly creepy, very dark promo.
The whole gimmick's dark.
It is, and he said,
No. This was dark. This was just, yeah, this is the darkest thing he's done to date.
I saw it.
He says, and I quote, and in my world, when one of my animals is sick or hurt, we don't let them fumble around in agony. We put them down.
And go ahead.
I understand it's the darkest promo they've done today. My point, though, is that the gimmick itself is the darkest thing going in the WWE right now. And it's a very refreshing thing to have them allow something that is this dark. You know, it gives shades back to the Ministry of Darkness in the Attitude Era. And so when you have something like that, you have something like this. When you have something like that, it's very stark in contrast to what's going on with the rest of the roster and what's on their television product.
Right.
So it stands out more, and it gets your eyeballs on it more.
Right, you have everything that's going on, and then you have the Wyatts.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. It's on the level of, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but he cut a promo in NXT that's called the Illuminati promo.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it on YouTube, and it was on this level. And when I found that and I showed it to Rock, it's like, I wish they were doing this, because it was that dark, eerie, really creepy promo that took it to that whole other level for them, where it's like, you know, yeah, you like the Wyatts because they're cool, they're dark, you know, you're not quite sure about them, and then it's like he does something like this, where it's just that really, you get that uneasy feeling where it's horror flick, I mean, even classic horror flick, psycho, you know, Hitchcock type stuff. And you get that really uneasy feeling. Oh yeah, it's completely refreshing, and that's why I love it. It's like, it's just great, and he's doing such a wonderful job at it. And I hate the fact that we're getting so little of it, but I understand why they're doing that. Because they make you want more.
Right, and the thing, like, the thing about it that I enjoy is that when you watch it, and you take it all in, and it makes you so uneasy with yourself, because you, like, some of the things he says, you agree with, and then you feel creeped out because you agree with him.
Right. And what's also nice is that they're not necessarily pointing them in any one direction yet. We don't know. It's like we don't know where Bray Wyatt is going to go. We don't know who he's going to go after next. And it's kind of like you're like, and Brock and I have this conversation. It's like, well, who's he going to go after? Who can he go after? Are they going to wait for Kane to get back? What's going to happen? I mean, it's like they've done a wonderful job of making you play this guessing game with the Wyatts.
I want to see who Sister Abigail is.
It's his finish.
Oh, that's his finish?
Mm-hmm. Oh. The original reference for Sister Abigail is the promo that he did where he talks about, I guess, it's either his real-life sister that raised him or it's somebody in the cult named Abigail who's older that raised him. Or even potentially his own mother. We don't know who Sister Abigail actually is, but I told Rock, it's like one thing I would love for them to do is to do some like Norman Bates type shit with Sister Abigail where she's like propped up in the house in a rocking chair.
That'd be awesome!
Right? Like somebody goes, and that's what I'm saying, it's like somebody needs to go look for Kane and go in the house, and that's what they find, is they find like, you know, this skeleton propped up in a rocking chair, you know, all psycho-like. It's just, that's what I would love to see them do, is that kind of stuff. Because they've got the potential right there for it. Because we originally thought Sister Abigail was going to be a valet, and then it's like, no, I wish they'd do some, like, Norman Bates type shit with her. Just because it would fit.
They can always make her Katie Vick.
Hey, you missed our whole storyline that we came up with about how Katie Vick is Kane's mother, or is Bray's mother, and Kane is Bray's father. And that's why Bray's going after Kane.
Yeah, we're strange like that. Made a sticky thing hurt again. Anyway, main event time. Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. Really good match.
It was a really good match. I mean, they put something together really nice. Roman usually isn't strong when he's on his own. So
I heart Roman Reigns' clotheslines. Like, I heart them. He throws them as if he's trying to knock someone out, and I love it.
Speaking of trying to knock someone out, as the finishing sequence went, Daniel Bryan runs with a dropkick to Seth Rollins, and well, Seth Rollins gets killed.
Did you see where he's placing all those dropkicks?
Mm-hmm.
He caught Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose with those dropkicks, and they were right on the chin. I mean, just bam, right there.
So he gets rid of him, gets rid of Dean Ambrose, goes for the yes lock on Roman Reigns. In comes Randy Orton to cause the disqualification. Daniel Bryan gets the yes lock on Randy Orton. Then in came the Shield as it was a 4-on-1 attack. Down goes Daniel Bryan. Randy Orton has a chair, puts it around the neck, and is ready to do the same thing he did to The Miz to Daniel Bryan. But then out came the locker room of the Usos, the primetime players, Justin Gabriel, Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, Rob Van Dam, R-Truth, and of course Zack Ryder hit the ring.
I had to look. I was like, was that Fandango? All I saw was the spangly trunks. I was like, wait a minute. Oh wait, that's Zack Ryder. He still works there?
Apparently.
So Zack Ryder and the crew make the save. They beat down the Shield, get him out of the ring. Randy Orton scattered long before. And then the locker room rejoices. The primetime players put Daniel Bryan up on his shoulders as the crowd and everyone in the ring chants, yes, yes, yes.
Now, am I the only one that has a problem with the individuals who were coming from the locker room? It's not so much that the locker room cleared and the faces came out, but it's who the faces were.
Well, if you think about it, who would you have had come out?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I understand the Usos because they're one of your... I understand the Usos and the primetime players. They're your two top babyface tag teams right now, right? I understand RVD, and I understand...
Ziggler,
because he's now starting to get back into things after, I'm hoping, his punishment is over.
Yeah, he got buried with the victory tonight. Yeah.
But I understand those six individuals, but like Zack Ryder, Justin Gabriel, R-Truth, it really. Because he's done it in the past, where he's done a thing or two here or there. Like, he did it in the past couple weeks. It would have almost been nice to see, after having knocked out Dusty tonight, Big Show run out and look like he's going to get involved and beat up on the baby faces.
You couldn't, though, because he was with Dusty at the hospital.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. He went to the hospital with Dusty in the ambulance.
But if you could have Big Show, you know, go like he was going to go after the baby faces and turn around and just deck one of the Shield members.
Oh yeah.
I think that's coming. Like I think Dusty is going to be the last straw for Show.
The legit baby face turn is coming. It's coming, and I'm with you. I don't know if Dusty's going to be the last straw though. I think it's close. I don't know how much farther they can push him.
Yeah, it's unless they have him knock out his own wife or something. Yeah, Dusty's
pretty
close.
Well, that's just too far.
Well, yeah, but you understand what I'm saying. It's something to that degree, to that level, where it's just... Because it's like to knock out Dusty Rhodes and be responsible for putting him in the hospital. You know, that's a huge weight and a huge burden for Show, and that's just going to further, you know... basically snowball everything he's feeling and going through and that kind of thing until he just snaps. Oh, hi, Fuzzy.
You know who the one person I think that could get involved on the television end of it that would get Big Show over the edge as far as a babyface turn would be Arn. Because you could have Arn question Triple H on what was good for business. Because Arn doing it would be believable. You have Arn question Triple H on what's good for business, and then, you know, in the dictator fashion that Triple H is doing everything nowadays, you have, you have Show be forced to knock out Arn. And I mean, we all know how close Arn and Show are outside of the business. So I think that's the one thing that you could do that would really cement the babyface turn. Other than his emotional reaction now, you could see how much it hurts him to do it. But I think that would just send him over the edge, and it would be really kind of one of those emotional cliffhangers for the crowd and the audience that would be amazing.
Arn would be good, but I think another name that's coming, or that we at least know that's coming,
Mull.
Is Shawn Michaels.
Mull.
and what basically what Triple H does to his best friend.
And
he turns on his best friend. Like, Arn would be good, but I don't think enough people would get the reference on the broad side of things. Like, I like Arn.
You could be correct in that, but here's the thing. The Shawn Michaels bit is going to play more into Daniel Bryan in Triple H because Shawn Michaels trained Daniel Bryan.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That's where that's going to play in. I understand where you're coming from, but where I'm coming from is that Arn, from all his time in the business and all his time from WCW to WWE on the backstage, has the cachet to be able to tell Triple H he's ruining the business, quote, and not listening to the fans.
You know who would have been good, but you know he's on the shit list right now. Is ooh.
Yeah. He'd have been better. He'd have been better than Arn.
But sadly, well, he's not welcome right now.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, honestly, I mean, is there anybody? I mean, I know you say Arn has the cachet to do it, and I agree with you 100% in reality, but as far as the blurred reality that they're kind of doing right now, where basically Hunter and Stiff. Anybody that really has the clout or the cachet to stand up to them without really facing any penalty, because it seems like, you know, no matter who challenges them, they find a way to...
But that's the point, is that Arn would step up, and then Big Show would be forced to knock Arn out. And,
right.
Yeah, I'm going a long way here, because you make... Like, Arn made references to Big Show in his Hall of Fame speech.
Right, and, but I'm not sure how many people saw that.
There's a lot of people who saw it.
There's ways to tell that story and make reference to it.
There's a lot of ways to make it work how it should work to be able to use Arn. Arn, you don't want to go the wife and kid route. And the other individual, and I totally forgot about this until I just looked up at my shelf and saw the DVD. The other person that they could use is Chris Jericho.
Jericho would be good if he's getting ready to come back.
Because Big Show and Jericho are best friends and neighbors.
Right.
And if you've watched either the Jericho or Big Show DVD, they talk about it on both DVDs. And again, there's ways to tell that story too. And Jericho is a little bit more relevant than Arn Anderson.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
There's a lot they can do with it. But that's what's making the story good. There's so many options, so many avenues, and they're going to travel down them all. Because going into the show, it's like, okay, Dusty's going to be there. They're going to give him some sort of, you know, proposition for the job back. I didn't think it would be, you know, either like a Sophie's Choice, you do one or the other type deal. That was really good.
Did he? I didn't see if he picked one. Did he pick one?
No, he told Stephanie to go straight to hell.
Now you know both of them are going to end up back back there.
They might have to. You know what? They may end up wrestling each other to earn a job.
That would be awesome.
Well, you know, it's like Cody and Goldust have both been pushing for a match at least Mania, if not a feud. So that would actually be really good.
I don't know if you're ever going to get Cody and Goldust at Mania, but you'll probably get them somewhere.
You might get them at 10 p.m. on Monday Night Raw.
I was just saying, I know we're not going to get them at Mania. I know they were pushing for it really hard, but I, you know, at least if we can see that match where with this much emotional energy around it, I think would be absolutely phenomenal.
I think you're going to get that match probably at either Battleground or Hell in a Cell. Because by Battleground, Cody will be back.
You would hope.
Well, he only took 3 weeks off.
Well, it depends on how long his honeymoon is.
That's my point. He took 3 weeks off total.
He hasn't gotten married yet, though.
No, he got married.
He got married last week.
That's what they're saying.
He got married.
That's what they're saying. It's being reported that he's not getting married in like a week and a half.
But either way, he took 3 weeks off total.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say 4 on the high side, all right? 4 on the high side. That still puts you back right at the time for Battleground. And if not Battleground, you're back for Hell in a Cell.
Oh, well, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just... I would at least hope they hold him off till then. You don't need him back next week.
No, you don't. There's enough going on that you don't need to oversaturate it.
What would be really interesting, as a final little throw out here, they use Cody's wife in this story. Not with Big Show, just have Stephanie.
I'm not a fan of using spouses or children.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion.
But she's a former company employee, so it, you know.
She's an employee, but was she a worker?
She was an announcer? A ring announcer?
He didn't marry Lillian, did he?
No. They brought her up, and she worked the NXT show for a little bit, I believe.
Because I had to kill him.
No, it's not Lillian. Eden Styles, according to the chat room, was her name. Or is her name, rather. She works Superstars. Thank you. Yeah, you can take that as you want.
No.
Oh, dear Lord, I know that laugh.
Oh, good Lord. Anyway, so, overall thought, pretty good show?
I enjoyed it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I just said I enjoyed it. I'm done.
I can't see its bug.
No!
No.
Damn it!
Right-click, hit view image, and that's how you can send images. That's, you know, the way to do things. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up here.
I don't get to say what I thought about the show.
You said a really good show. All right, continue.
I have more.
All right, fine, continue.
God! Talk about cutting people off. Good Lord. Good show. What was interesting and what we didn't talk about in the main event was when Brian was walking backstage, he got a hug from Brie.
Oh, that's right.
They acknowledged the relationship between Brian and Brie on WWE TV, which now leads to the question of, is Brie now going to play a factor in the Brian storyline?
This is true, yeah. That was an interesting... He's just walking. Oh, it's Brie, and you look at the face on Nikki Bella. She was like, It's interesting.
Yeah, so it's, you know, is she now going to be brought into this? Because it would honestly make sense to bring her in. I mean, the vicious Randy Orton, what did he do? He went after, you know, Triple H's wife. Well, you know, what's stopping him from going after Dana Bryan's girlfriend?
I think that'll happen.
It will probably happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, further down the line. But, yeah, we'll see. So, anyway, good show. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Got Bray Wyatt. Very happy. Well, I want more, but, well, I have to take what they give me for right now.
He preached patience, Lindsay. Patience.
I'm a fangirl. I don't have any.
On that note, we're going to wrap things up here for another edition of the Raw Post Show Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Join us Thursday night, Lindsay, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We're going to have our Night of Champions review because, well, I didn't get to talk about it, so guess what? You get to put up with me talking about it. We're going to be talking all about the other half of No Surrender for Impact. Excuse me. Sorry. Had to cough there. And we're going to have news. We have actually lots of news, lots of notes, discussions, and all that good fun stuff. And, well, maybe something special?
You never know. It's The Rack, Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, RackRadioShow.com. Check out the Total Divas special we do with a special podcast for RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. You know, we review Total Divas. If you want us to review a show, let us know. Send us an email, contact@RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio. We talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. You never know who drops by. We're on the road to 300. Sunday night, it is WTR Sunday Night Live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Join Tim Stein, Omega, and Mace as they cover the week in pro wrestling. We'll be back next week for another edition of Wild Push It Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Buy tickets for Tim's Canadian All-Pro show this Saturday. Go to CanadianAllPro.com. Buy tickets there. It's going to be awards. Johnny Devine in a steel cage. Check that out. Lindsay.
Ooh, that's getting kinky. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWird. You can go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. Check that out. And also check out, let's see, behance.net/LinsWard, LinsWard.deviantart.com, and, of course, CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. And, well, you never know, because we might be in the mood for Italian on Thursday. Tune in and listen to The Rack.
Spug, where can people see you wrestle?
This Saturday night, Geo Ministries, Estabula, Ohio, 5 p.m. bell time, I will be taking on hard-hitting Ryan Winton and the Bouncer in a triple threat match. And then Sunday, 9505 Denison Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio, I will be taking on Tristan Tyler for Die Hard Pro. And that is a 3 p.m. bell time.
You can follow Spug on Twitter at, I believe, Bruiser_Schmidt, is that correct?
Yes, at Bruiser_Schmidt, and a Facebook fan page to come shortly. I'm working on it little by little, so that's coming shortly, and also I'm hoping for a YouTube channel at some point. So that's everything. And also, please support The Rack, because unlike the flagship program on this network, it's the only thing that's really listenable to.
As I said last night, the greatest of all the times. So for Spock and Lindsay, if you haven't figured it out, join us for The Rack Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you in the back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show Live, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks to PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. Good night, everybody. Thanks,